Stay tuned to 101.5 because each month we'll bring you interesting and informative podcasts with architect Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative. Are you going in circles trying to work out whether to renovate or sell? Do you need more information about current costs to help you make the right decisions? Over the coming weeks, Stephanie is going to help us find the answers to our questions. She'll be sharing episodes from her Renovation Collaborative Season 1 podcast, Renovate or Sell. She'll be interviewing 5 trusted industry insiders to find out the latest information about the cost of house construction from a building cost estimator and a quantity surveyor, about the cost of houses from a real estate agent, about home loans from a mortgage broker, and about the right amount to borrow from a financial advisor. Stephanie, can you tell us what we are going to hear about today?
Absolutely. So in today's episode, we'll find out about square meter rates. If you're renovating or building and trying to find out how much your house plans or even your ideas will cost, you will have come across the term square meter rates. But what does it mean? In today's episode, I investigate square meter rates in detail. I find out what they are, how they're calculated, and why building cost consultants hate them. In this episode, we talk to highly respected quantity surveyor Flavio Costanzo from Flavio Costanzo & Associates Quantity Surveyors and Building Cost Consultants. Let's take a listen.
Good morning, Flav, and thank you so much for joining me again on the Renovation Collaborative podcast.
Pleasure, thank you.
So for anyone talking about renovating or building new, once you start asking anyone, builders, designers, architects, friends, about how much it costs to build, you will hear the term square meter rates. So today I just want to get to the bottom of what square meter rates are and how they're used and the many problems with using them if you're not a professional and you're not experienced. So can you tell me generally what the term square meter rates even means for people who haven't heard it before or may have just been hearing it now?
Well, square meter rate is the reflection, a simplistic way of approaching, I have an area of a building I want to build, I want to apply one rate that's going to give me an approximate indication of what that's going to cost. And the important thing is knowing how that rate was arrived at and what area was it based on. Different people have different understanding of what the area should be, but as long as you're consistent in your approach, then it can be an early indication, but only a very broad indication. And the level of accuracy should not be attributed to it a great deal.
So where do current square meter rates come from?
Well, they come out of a lot of publications, and they come used to. There was an influx of information years ago where the industry, the project home builders, were flogging a lot of square meter rates as an indication of come build with us, but they never explained what the rate, where the rate came from. And consequently, people were being drawn into, oh, this bloke can build for $500 a square metre. Why would I go and pay $750? But if you don't know where the area came from, you have no idea what it actually means.
Yes, and that is absolutely what we're trying to get at. Yeah.
That's right.
So they're coming from publications. They're coming from working backwards off previous work that you've had, or what?
Definitely. Analysing a previous project is the best way of getting a square metre rate. So if you're doing a range of homes, it's important that you spend the time or get somebody to help you put together the square metre rate for the project you've just finished. And the square metre rate is best looked at or based on the tender price, okay? Exclude GST, keep GST to one side. It's important to compare apples with apples and analyse your project on the same basis each time.
So square metre rates are calculated in different ways. Do they include the external area, like verandas, garages, carports? What's in and what's out of square metre rates?
Well, that's up to...
Or isn't it that straightforward?
It's not that straightforward. The residential industry, whether it's the real estate, your residential homes are measured to the outside face of the wall. So if you've got a cavity wall, you'll end up losing 270 millimetres. And consequently, you can either include or exclude carports, but and those can have a significant effect. So as long as you're being consistent on how you approach your own measurement of those rates, the rate will work. But you can't hop from one to the other.
So potentially, if someone had got a price from a builder or somewhere and they were trying to understand that price and how it had come in. So, for price for a renovation, say, gets very confusing. Oh, don't you want to go there? Let's just start with a new house.
No, I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, it's just because it's such a common thing. I mean, that's predominantly probably what people largely are doing in inner areas because there's no land, so we have to deal with what we've got. So in a renovation, say, you've got the existing house where there may be little or no work. There might be a paint and a floor sand, but everything else largely probably stays in place. Then you might have a new kitchen and bathroom in a certain, maybe a couple of existing rooms. They get rearranged into a kitchen and bathroom, say, and then you might have an extension. How can you take a square metre rate and apply it to the whole thing there? You can't, because some of it is 100% new work. Some of it, kitchens and bathrooms, were, say, 50% new work. And then with the paint and the floor sand, that's like 5% new work. Do you know what I mean? So it's so diverse. So if the builder had given you a price for $600,000, say, I mean, that is a very random price to pull out for all that work. But if they did, you can't just sort of divide that back. And I'm just sort of qualifying what I said before, because in the previous question, I said, can you just divide the rate back over? But it doesn't work like that for renovations. No, it doesn't work that way.
In the example you've just given, I would probably tend to approach the new extension separately.
Yep. So, but unless that's priced separately, you can't really do that, can you?
No, you can't. But I mean, if you were given to me as a concept stage, I would do a semi-detailed assessment. I would measure some quantities for the lick in a paint, you know, the sanding of the floor, the painting of the walls and ceilings, keep it to one price.
So that would all be sort of getting
separated out.
Yeah, yep. Separated, getting quotes based on quotes of trades, because they're quite smaller tasks, aren't they? Yeah.
And then you approach the extension totally separately. And a small extension like you described, you know, your regular square metre rate would be totally almost double, because it's a small extension.
Oh, okay. So it makes it higher because it's smaller work.
Well, you can't add a room for $3,000 a square metre necessarily, unless it's a very simple room. Mm. And if it's things like a bathroom or a kitchen, I tend to price those in these simple examples as lump sums. Anything to do with plumbing and electrical concentration have to be kept separately. You can price those as a range of cost lump sum prices.
Yeah, okay.
I tend to do it that way.
So when you talk about square metre rates, are you thinking of them as the internal part of the building, or does that have to be defined somewhere? Like the rates that are bandied around, are they more about the internal build for new work?
In residential, it's still to the outside face.
Yeah, so but it's not to the outside of the veranda. It's to the outside face of the enclosed space.
Hard to be defined.
Can't be defined.
I can't be. I wouldn't know.
It's
an unknown.
That's great. No, that's good. And it passes on the extreme variation that you've got here. If that's not even black and white.
It has to be defined. Somebody has to say, you have to ask the question. You have to ask the question. Did you include the veranda area? Oh, no, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Did you include the carport? Oh, no, I didn't include that.
And so if you were looking at the square metre rates allowed for in Rawlinson's or the typical national information that's passed around about by the industry, would that, for a house, would that be the internal area?
Well, Rawlinson's tend to call it to the outside face of the walls. Now, they would include things like verandas. Mm-hmm. So a veranda is a occupiable space. You would include the veranda. And it's got a roof, it's got a floor, it's got a balustrade. You would include that in it. So that would be reflective of that.
Yep. Oh, okay. Interesting.
So those rates tend to be average.
That's right. That's very average.
Very average.
A veranda compared to a fully fitted out kitchen. Exactly. That's an extremely different price items, aren't
correct,
they?
Correct.
So what is Rawlinson's?
Well, Rawlinson's used to engage their own offices right around Australia. And I spent 11 years at Rawlinson's and I helped with the first 6 years of publications. They had us spend several months collecting the information, and then they would take it back to Perth and they would reconfigure it in a format which was standardised across the various states and the cities. And so they try and price things. They take a typical project and they price the project, get rates for various size projects, from a small to a medium to a large project, because the price of supplying certain materials can diminish with quantity, and some materials stay the same cost with quantities. So they tend to put together a great understanding of the cost of labour and the cost of the materials based on a particular size project, and they price that each year, and then they put those the variation in those rates in the publication. The costs vary significantly across every state, obviously.
Oh, okay, yeah, even within the state.
Even within a state, and further away from the capital city you get, there is a published a regional factor that you could take into account. Sometimes it's going to be accurate and sometimes it's going to be miles out. Builders don't like to build remotely because you've got accommodation costs, you've got travel costs, et cetera, et cetera. So all those things have to be factored into it. So consequently, that's why there's a regional maps of each state and what percentage that you should be adding to the capital state, the capital city state that you're working on to accommodate for that sort of a difference.
Okay, and that's residential, but it's also they provide information too. Right across all of commercial and all different types of residential, don't they, from from project home type things right through to super high end. So there's a very big spectrum of information there and broken down in a million different ways. Yep. And I just looked at it even after 25 years in the industry and went, I just really have got a very vague grasp on this. Like I can understand what they're saying, but how to use those figures in there, I just, because it is a specialist field to understand it's to use it.
It's not a layman's field.
No, not at all. So talking about that square meter rate again and what it includes. So you're saying it could be calculated to include just the internal area, or it could also include the balconies. What's excluded from that?
The published rates only include the cost of the actual construction itself. It wouldn't include driveways. It wouldn't include carports. It wouldn't include landscaping.
Also pools or fences grass or trees.
All of those things, because they would, traditionally they used to vary significantly with the size of a block. Now, blocks are getting smaller, so you could argue that what I'm saying is a little bit redundant, but it's still relevant that it's only the cost of the construction of the home itself, the residence itself. So the area is normally to the outside face of the external wall. Anything beyond that, which isn't part of the integral part of the home, it obviously includes a veranda if it's part of it.
Yeah.
But if it's an independent carport, no. If it's a driveway, no. If it's a landscaping, excluded. Pools, fencing, tool shed in the backyard, all of those things should not be included or assumed to be included in a square meter rate.
So they all have to be added on. So correct. There's something else that comes to mind then. So if you've got a sloping site and you're doing cut and fill, you're doing retaining, all of those things, which can add hundreds if you've got quite a steep site or you're doing some extensive work there, all of that is additional as well, isn't it?
Correct.
When I was looking at that information from Rawlinson's, I think they said things that they exclude from their cost that they give. They said sloping sites, difficult foundations, high ceilings, unusual shapes, meaning walls, not just a rectangular house, but walls that move around in have different angles. And obviously then any special design, unusual roof forms, anything like that.
So taking your example of a steep sloping site, it's no different to the kitchen, bathroom, laundry, ensuite. They are lump sums of money which would not be reflected in the cost per square metre and would have to be looked at separately. Retaining walls, they're a killer. Retaining walls are a killer for cost.
And what material did you build them out of? There's so many different ways to go there.
Exactly.
And also the type of soil. That if you spend a day chipping away on solid rock or if it moves quite easily.
Correct.
If the soil's being kept on site or if it's being taken off the site. Yeah.
Well, that's a management sometimes for the builder. But if an architect, and most architects tend to be doing it these days, they organise their cut to fill to optimise.
To keep it all there.
Keep it all there.
Yeah.
If it's suitable, they keep it. If not, they take some away and bring some imported stuff in. Yeah.
So let's talk about some examples. So hypothetically, if someone was at a barbecue and someone said, oh, building these days, it's X amount per square metre, and you took that home and you tried to apply that to your project, it's important, I think, to keep in mind that there are so many things that can make a square metre rate higher or lower. So some typical things that you can, and I should say higher or lower, and also therefore extremely inaccurate. What sort of things come up for you? I mean, we mentioned higher ceilings, structure.
Well, kitchens, en suites, bathrooms, is it full height tiling in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Is it a bathtub? Is it a shower? laundry, all the wet areas tend to have their own separate cost centre sensitivity. Kitchens are obvious, fairly obvious. You've got a lot of bench work. You've got appliances. Does that include appliances? Clients sometimes want to supply their own appliances. So all those things need to be understood and nutted out before you throw a square metre rate. It's more logical to probably approach a square metre rate for an empty shell and then put the lump sums for a kitchen, for an ensuite, one bathroom, a powder room, and treat those as separate lump sums because they can have a tremendous effect because of the plumbing, et cetera, concentrated, and the cost of the fittings in there.
Yes. And you're still, even as an empty space though, it's still quite different, a veranda versus an internal empty space. They're still quite different, aren't they, to apply the whole thing?
I treat those separately. I treat the veranda separately, square metre rate, to an internal space.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So now I've sort of attempted to put square metre rates in some sort of context. I mean, really what I'm getting to here is I'm really saying don't take square metre rates and try to work it out yourself. It's really just go and get some costing advice is really what I'm saying, because you can have a stab at it yourself and be completely wrong, whereas where was the point of that? You've continued down the path with this inaccurate information and then you're going to get a rude shock somewhere, and it's at the end when you've invested all this time and emotion and money into getting the drawings done and everything, whereas if you'd got some costing advice at the beginning, it would have given you a more accurate number. Thank you so much, Flav, for all of your incredible information today. That's been really informative.
My pleasure.
Wow, what a fantastic interview. For anyone thinking of renovating, the takeaway messages from today's interview are, number one, if you're ever quoted square metre rates, make sure you find out what they include because they can be so variable and everyone has a different interpretation. And point number two, square metre rates may or may not include verandas and bits and pieces attached to the house, but they never include work outside the house. This includes items like driveways, landscape retaining walls, complex footings, pools, pool houses, fences, things like that. So make sure you allow to add money on for all of this on top of your house cost to get that total figure.
Wow, you've given us all a lot to think about. Next time, we'll find out how much it costs to build a custom house or renovation in Southeast Queensland in 2025. Stephanie Skyring from Renovation Collaborative, thank you for joining us on Morning Magazine and keeping our community informed and connected on 101.5 FM.
Thanks, Deb.